1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. For one of the survivors of Monday night's Michigan State University shootings, this was not her first time being involved in a mass shooting at school.
For Michigan State senior Jackie Matthews,
we can no longer allow this to happen.
There's a reason she's feeling this way.
I am 21 years old, and this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through.
As she explained in her TikTok video, she was just a child when she was a student at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut in 2012.
The fact that this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through is incomprehensible.
Matthews lives directly across the street from where the Monday night shootings occurred.
We can no longer just provide love and prayers. It needs to be legislation. It needs to be action. It's not okay.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Mark Milley, says it's been tough to recover the debris from three aerial objects shot down recently.
Off coast of Alaska is in some really, really difficult terrain in the Arctic Circle. Very, very low temperatures in the minus 40s. The second one is in the Canadian Rockies in Yukon. Very difficult to get that one. And the third one is in Lake Huron, probably a couple hundred feet depth. So we'll get them eventually, but it's going to take some time to recover those.
The White House is saying the objects may have been benign. The UN is asking for almost $400 million to help the nearly 5 million survivors of this month's earthquakes in a remote area of Syria. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is there.
The need here is so great, but so little aid has come here to northern Syria, and people are desperate.
A desperation that is tangled up in the fault lines of Syria's decade-long civil war. President Bashar al-Assad is trying to control all of the supply routes, and world leaders don't want to legitimize the regime they've sanctioned.
Now that former South Carolina governor and U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley has announced her plans to run for president, she has some questions to answer. Larry Sabato is the director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia.
She said she wasn't going to run against Trump, and now she is. She's going to have to explain why she flip-flopped on that. And she had better get to her explanation quickly, because I don't think Donald Trump is going to hold back.
Consumer prices went up more than expected last month. One reason, the cost of auto insurance. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez reports.
Premiums have risen more than $240 on average, topping $2,000 a year. Florida drivers saw the biggest jump, up nearly twice that amount to almost $3,200 a year.
Police say a man who mowed down people with a U-Haul truck Monday in New York City was suffering from an apparent mental health crisis. They say 62-year-old Weng Soar told them he began his rampage after seeing an invisible object coming toward him. One person was killed, eight others injured. This is CBS News.
Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267,
and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-935-7267.
School lunches.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 15th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at the library, followed by the Library Board of Trustees meeting at 5 p.m. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Drainage Board will hold their meeting from 10 to 11 a.m. over Zoom. The Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. The Wisconsin DMV is reminding residents you can obtain a free ID to vote if you don't already have another valid form of identification accepted at the polls. Wisconsin Rapids DMV is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7:45 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 39, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, highs level off around 40, cloudy skies. Lows level off around 20, tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Tuesday. Happy Valentine's, my little buddy. How you doing, man?
Hey, Crudy, happy VD to you. Evan on the board, our fair audience. Happy VD to everyone out there.
Why are you going to do that? It takes all the luster off the day.
You kidding me? It makes it that much better. Oh, happy Tuesday, man.
Can we just call it Valentine's Day?
I mean, you can. I like to keep it short and sweet. Happy VD Day. Happy VD. I mean, you can't say day. It's Valentine's Day, VD. Happy VD.
Is that something you and Joe decided in college? Or trip to the free clinic later and it was VD
Day? No, man. I think actually Steph started that with me a long time ago. So it kind of stuck. So what are you going to do, man? It's funny. So well, it's funny. That's why we say it.
Happy Valentine's to our lovely wives, Mrs. Crudy and Mrs. Salvia.
Why are you telling my wife happy VD, man?
So proud they must be.
Keep
of
my
us.
Wife's name out your damn mouth, Crudy. I'll jump through the screen.
Well, it's going to be like that, is it? Tom, are we going to talk politics today or just trash talk?
I think perhaps a little bit of both. I know, man, so much going on. Of course, not doing the show yesterday, all the news and all the news over the weekend. I mean, it seems like just a cornucopia of news and information just being thrown at me all last several days. So, yeah, it's a lot to get to. But I think we got to start, you know, right here in our own backyard, Crudy, because I got to tell you, dude, the Republican Party's in disarray.
1 week away from the U.S., Wisconsin Supreme Court primary, we've got a Republican Party, as Tom would describe them, in disarray. Disarray. I'm a little gleeful when I hear those words, Tom, because this could be the most important election of your lifetime, at least spring election. Supreme Court election, certainly. The balance, the soul of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is in the balance.
And this is really the first time that we've had a chance, us non, you know, mega conservatives, to impact a part of our government, three branches of government, right? The judiciary here in Wisconsin. I mean, we've been overrun by Republicans for years and years and years. We actually have a chance now. It's our first chance to get a really, really big win that could have some very, very positive consequences for the state.
It's the most recent chance. We've had prior chances. We've just blown them. The race for state Supreme Court has turned into a social media brawl, Dub.
Oh, what?
On February 1st, District 2 Court of Appeals ruled that Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge, you know, the celebrity Dom, Jennifer Doro, took it easy on a defendant. Well, you're going to have a hell of a time winning on behalf of the Law and Order Party, taking her easy on a defendant.
Easy on crime, Jennifer Doro.
Convicted of drunken driving for the fifth time.
Five? I mean, only five. This is Wisconsin. I can see why she'd want to go easy on her. Judge Doro probably thinking this defendant might be one of the regulars in her new shoot 'em up, you know, gun range bar. That's where you make your money, man. That's the regulars.
Doro, who is currently running as a conservative candidate for the state Supreme Court, sentenced the individual to probation and 9 months of work release. But the appellate court said the defendant should have gotten at least 1 year behind bars and probably the presumptive mandatory minimum of 1.5 years in prison. That's substantially different than 9 months.
Yeah, probation, 9 months work release versus 1.5 years in prison. Definitely a difference.
Here's the insight. If you're not paying attention, Shelley Grogan, who is an appeals court judge here in the state of Wisconsin, not only ruled on this case, wrote the decision, and then went out and publicly trashed the district court judge, in this case, the candidate Doro. Appeals court judge Shelley Grogan, who wrote the decision, called Doro's sentence unlawful. Unlawful. Ouch, says Dan Bice. The ruling prompted one of Doro's biggest cheerleaders, conservative talk show host Mark Belling, to attack Grogan, who is endorsing conservative candidate Dan Kelly. It's all very incestuous.
It is, man.
A total of four candidates are running in the February 21st primary for the high court, including liberal Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. But we're talking about the disarray of the conservative side, the Republicans, Dom. In an article on his website, Belling wrote that Grogan was calling local lawyers to mock Doro and crow about the appellate court ruling. Here's a very profound question from Mark Belling, and I mean this in all sincerity. I think this is an excellent question. He writes, did Grogan overturn Doro just so she could rip her? Is it ethical for an appellate judge to use her own ruling to score political points against another judge? No one really knows because no one can think of another appellate judge who's done it. But Grogan is right now, real time, Tom, because it's getting heated up in here. But here is where things took a very non-judicial term, Dom.
Crudy. Vice reports, Doro's campaign told the Journal Sentinel last week that she would not be commenting on Grogan's ruling because the case has been sent back to Doro's court for resentencing. But then, around noon on Sunday, Doro's campaign posted Belling's entire online commentary on her Twitter page, even taking out a poll quote, state liberals clearly believe Doro is stronger than Kelly. They are running attack ads against Doro, but leaving Kelly alone. So much for staying silent on the issue, but it didn't stop. Crudy, 7 hours later, Grogan took to Twitter to offer her rebuttal, an almost unheard of action by an appellate judge. And here was her rebuttal. Three Court of Appeals judges unanimously reversed Judge Doro and State v. Shrinikin, Grogan tweeted. Judges Grogan, Lazar, and Neubauer concluded Doro didn't follow the law and remanded for resentencing. The court decides cases based on law, not politics. And then she tags Doro and Mark Belling. As Bice writes, so that's what you missed by watching the pregame to the Super Bowl. The dispute has to do with the case of Lynn Shirikian, a 50-year-old Delafield resident who was arrested for drunk driving for the fifth time in May of 2020. Residents called Waukesha County authorities saying she was driving erratically after attempting to steal booze from a local establishment. And a little enhancer. She told officers that she'd been drinking wine, vodka, and tequila earlier in the day. She had a blood alcohol level of 0.299, nearly four times the legal limit. Damn. She was charged with felony counts of fifth offense operating a vehicle while intoxicated, operating with a prohibited alcohol concentration, and bail jumping. She faced a maximum sentence of 26 years in prison and fines up to $60,000. In February, she pled guilty to one count of fifth-time OWI, with the other charges being dropped but read into the record. At the court hearing, Doro noted the seriousness of the offense, but also noted such mitigating factors as family support, recent treatment, and volunteer work. The judge imposed but stayed a sentence of 3 years in prison and 2 years of extended supervision. In the end, Shurikian was placed on 3 years probation and 9 months of work release. 2 months later, prosecutors asked Doro to reconsider her sentence. Please reconsider. Hell, she could have got 26 years. Please reconsider. But she refused, saying her actions were valid and in accordance with the court's authority. The three-member appeals court found otherwise. In the appellate decision this month, Grogan wrote that fifth and sixth time drunken driving convictions have a presumptive mandatory minimum of 1.5 years. A circuit court can instead set the sentence at only 1 year behind bars, Grogan wrote, but only if the court finds that the best interests of the community will be served and the public will not be harmed by the shorter sentence. Those reasons must be put on the record, but nothing short of 1 year in prison is permitted, according to the appellate court ruling. Grogan wrote that Doro's ruling let the victim, Shakurian, off easy. Quote, because the circuit court imposed an unlawful sentence that did not comply with the statutes, we reverse the circuit court's order denying the state's motion seeking resentencing. We remand the matter back to the circuit court with direction to resentence to a lawful sentence consistent with the opinion. Apparently, the new court date, Curdy, has not yet been set.
Dominic, liberals were quick to criticize Doro's handling of the case. The outcome of the Supreme Court race will determine if liberals or conservatives will control the high court. And Joseph Oslin, spokesman for the State Democratic Party, said it's clear that Doro completely misinterpreted the state statute and imposed a light sentence. Here's a further quote, Tom. It's disturbing that Jennifer Doro appears to have botched yet another sentencing decision. Fortunately, the Court of Appeals was able to step in and ensure justice was done in this case, and that a dangerous individual with five OWI offenses was not let off with a slap on the wrist. A spokesman for Protasewicz said voters can't trust Doro's extremely bad judgment. What Jennifer Doro does when cameras aren't in the courtroom is troubling, says Sam Recker from the Protasewicz campaign. Kelly declined to comment. That's a rarity, Dom. Apparently, they didn't ask Everett Mitchell on this one. But anyways, five-time convicted DWI offender, Dom.
I'm pulling months. A 0.2999, man. I mean, that's not just, you know,
stealing
barely over.
Booze bottles looking to push it up.
Yeah, she got a strong family, and she volunteers once in a while.
Where at? The bar? Does that count? Can you get public service at a bar, Dom?
If they sign the note, perhaps.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope it's a wonderful Valentine's to everybody listening. Unless you're Dan Kelly. And then I hope you've got a really bad day to look forward to. You know, I continue to catch hell for the Dan Kelly ads around here. And I continue to be unmoved. Keep running the Dan Kelly ads, I say. More Dan Kelly, more Dan Kelly. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You're going to enjoy it. 8-4.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 41, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 45 tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 25 tomorrow night, chance for snow. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the big program at 844-967-2789.
Donovan, whatever your name is, Dominic.
Donovan.
Bob. Nick, you know, I hate to root against the defendants in a court of law. I've been in that chair once or twice or
three times.
A couple times.
I mean, indiscretions of youth.
Yeah, something like that. I've been in that chair, and I hate to root for a stiffer sentence. You know, like the judge in Caddyshack. Sentence boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it, thought I owed it to them.
Come on, though, man. Five DUIs, dude. The neighbors called her or called the cops, right? 0.2999. I mean, that's stumbling drunk. I mean, unless you're pure on full alcoholic, then maybe it's just her getting out of bed. But that's pretty bad, man. That's very, I mean, the accidents we have in this state because of drunk driving, yeah, it's problematic to not get any time after five.
Well, 9 months, that's time, but that's not sufficient.
Work release? Come on, man. Work release? You consider that doing time? You did work release. Was that doing time?
Well,
you're right,
worse
man.
Than being at home on the couch. You would get out for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's what work release jail is like. It's not really jail. I'll admit. I didn't really do any jail time. No, I didn't. And I came from a small town, so it was pretty... It was a bunch of guys who had gotten DWIs.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, I almost feel like some had gotten so terribly behind on their child support. But can you go to debtor's jail? I wasn't clear. You know, that's always the excuse. But, you know, the three drug offenses is probably a kicker.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it was sort of a joke, Dom. I spent some time. It was like going to a, I don't know, like a dormitory. There are lots of beds. More like the military experience I had. In the military, the dorms had bunk-style beds. That's what day camp jail was like. Bunk-style beds. Lots of dudes snoring. That's
your work release was like that. Bunk-style beds.
Yeah.
Did you get frisked on the way in? Did you bring tobacco?
I did bring tobacco in. Annoying that I was committing contraband. In fact, I wasn't even discreet. I had I used smokeless tobacco. I had a round tin of Copenhagen in my front pocket. I walked right in. Like, I didn't know you couldn't do that. We wore street clothes. Like, I would wear civilian clothes all day long. You'd, like, have to take your car keys and hand them off. They'd stick them in a locker. You know, so you couldn't jam a guy with your car keys, I guess. But no, I had a vehicle sitting outside. I mean, hell, if I wanted contraband, I'd leave it in the car. It was sitting in the parking lot. Right. Why would I bring it into jail? But once I learned you weren't technically supposed to bring tobacco into jail, then from then on, I was much more discreet.
About bringing tobacco into the
yes,
jail?
Yes, absolutely.
You didn't stop bringing tobacco into the jail.
No, absolutely not.
You were just more discreet about bringing it into the jail.
Yes.
Gotcha. Was there a weed smoking going on at the work release?
Some. It was.
Sounds like a party, man.
There were harder drugs than marijuana going on. Yeah. There was cocaine use in that work release jail. First night I walked in, and the stallless bathroom doors, and some dude sitting there, not utilizing the bathroom so much, is snorting lines off a mirror in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, it's that kind of work release jail. And some other dudes told me they were tripping balls that night. They had taken some acid or something. They were just bouncing off the walls, I guess. But
you got to get through the 12 hours, man, before you get out again. You got to pass the time somehow, I guess.
Well, one night a week, you would have to stay continuously. And for me, that was Mondays. Because Mondays, and I would get out to work at a restaurant. But Dragon slept on Monday. It was the Dragon restaurant. That was the joke. Dragon slept on Monday. So I would get out 6 days a week, and I'd work split shifts. But, of course, I told them there was no break in the shift. So I told them I worked a continuous 12-hour restaurant.
Yeah, hard-working man.
Well, except I'd, you know, eat some Chinese food. I'd go home, take a shower, take a nap. I'd go back and work the evening shift, and then I'd have like an hour of downtime before I had to go back to day camp jail. And so, you know, my roommates were smoking something, I might join in. But
yes,
let's just call it a sober January for me, at least from an alcohol point of view.
So Judge Doro's decision to not follow through on the required sentence for this fifth, you know, OWI offender. And to answer Belling's question and your point, apparently it was a unanimous appeals court decision.
Neubauer.
So, yeah.
Neubauer
was on that, yes.
Was a liberal that lost to Brian Hagedorn. She was the preferred Supreme Court candidate back in 19, I believe it was.
So three different judges from different political backgrounds looked at what Doro decided and said, oh, hell no, no. And again, I think it goes back to her judgment or lack thereof. This is the same woman who wants, with her husband, to open up a gun range / bar / wedding hall.
I don't know
hall.
Why you think that's such a bad idea. I can see getting slashed and going shooting.
Come on, man. That's a terrible... Because that's why. Because it's a terrible idea. I mean, imagine this lady who's got her .2999 OWI at the gun range, man. That's why. No, that's a bad idea. So it goes to the judgment. And no, it's not so you right-wing talk radio can rip on a judge because, what, she's supporting a different conservative judge versus your conservative judge? Man, you guys are, seriously, I mean, really, you guys are in such disarray. I mean, get your crap together. I mean, we have this coming up. We have a primary coming up next week. You don't see the Dems crapping all over each other in social media.
I should shoot at you because I'm too drunk to walk across the room and slap your face.
Pew, pew.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a Tuesday, 1 week to the Supreme Court primary. Gonna wean out a couple of bad candidates, Dom. And I, if you can't tell, am still rooting for Dan Kelly. He's my kind of real conservative, Dom. The balance of the court comes down to one seat. And if you want a real... the real conservative, vote for Dan Kelly in the primary. Trust me. I'm being strategic here. More devils.
Don't do that.
More strategery on the other side.
All right. Do we know any coke dealers? My cousin's a coke head.
Yeah, probably.
The Shaw 101 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Listen. Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The 30-year-old driver who crashed his vehicle in Amherst Junction, killing a 58-year-old passenger, made his first appearance in court yesterday. Axel Cruz Zelaya of Appleton has been charged with operating a vehicle without a valid license, causing death. The crash happened on November 18th on Highway 10 West. Speed and road conditions contributed to the vehicle entering the ditch before rolling and ending upright. The 58-year-old passenger was pronounced dead at the scene. Cruz Zelaya faces up to 6 years in jail if convicted. Governor Evers wants automatic voter registration in Wisconsin. More details of his two-year budget proposal are coming out ahead of his budget address tomorrow night. Evers wants to connect the databases for the DMV and the Elections Commission, so when you get your driver's license or renew it, you're registered to vote. The governor is also proposing a number of other voting initiatives, even though they're not expected to become part of the final budget. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 39, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 40, cloudy skies. Lows level off around 20. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
Our network, and there are Republicans and super PACs in different groups that want to buy some or all of our different messaging platforms. I say, good. We are a bulletin board for the truth. As long as they tell the truth, I can live with that. Because running this old network costs a lot of money. And I want a durable, ongoing, 365, 24/7 response mechanism. And you know what? I've tried funding it out of my pockets. Doesn't work like that. Little guy like me can't keep a radio station, a network going. So while we certainly have funding, and as I pointed out prior, Dom, I don't think my partner's broke so much, as I've been quite insistent that we should take these dollars. Because if you want to tell the people that Dan Kelly is the real conservative that voted to keep you home during a pandemic, oh, no, he didn't. He voted to make you go out and vote during a pandemic in person, couldn't even do absentee. If that's the kind of potential Supreme Court justice that appeals to you, the real conservative kind, then you should vote for Dan Kelly. And the fact that his ads run on this station and tell you that he's the real conservative, so I don't have to. And they pay me for the right to do that, Tom. Well, fella, I think that's genius. I'm going to keep cashing those checks. And I know nice people like Georgia. Georgia sent me a long, thoughtful email. Me, Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, a lot of the people that appear on this fine network, and said, who made this disastrous opinion and decision? And I said, it was me. It was me. I'm proud of it. I made a conscious choice. I made a strategic choice. You can disagree with it. You can choose not to listen to the greatest radio show ever, but why punish yourself like that? Call me and chastise me publicly at 844-967-2789. We've done
so
this.
So what I failed to
I've
see,
been publicly
Crudy,
chastised.
How is this different from what the Democratic Party did in the midterms and, according to this New York Times piece, continue to do today by propping up what they would consider unelectable or more unelectable mega fringe candidates?
Let me draw
like you're
the
pushing up
direct
Kelly.
Oh, au contraire. I'm telling you exactly who Dan Kelly is in his own super PAC's words.
Sure.
At expense.
Okay.
They're paying me for the right to say that. The difference in this article, Reed Epstein at the New York Times, the Democrats in their strategy, they're expending their resources to lift up bad candidate Republicans, which is a waste of the meager resources. Lift up the Dem team.
Right.
With your own money, lift up your team. Or, alternatively, crap on the other team. But what you don't do is you don't expend your hard-earned donor dollars lifting up a candidate of the other team. That's where I disagree with this strategy being currently utilized in the state of Wisconsin. Reed Epstein reporting at the New York Times. Last year, Democrats spent millions of dollars elevating far-right candidates in Republican primary contests for governor and Congress, betting it turned out correctly that more extreme opponents would lose general elections. Now Wisconsin Democrats are trying to do it again, this time with mail and TV ads before a Republican primary in a special election for state Senate seat that carries ramifications far beyond the district in suburban Milwaukee. Talking about the former Alberta darling seat, Dom,
yes,
that would be
Wisconsin's
your Senate district.
8th Senate district. That's my Senate district. Yes, I have a little skin in this game.
As the Times reports, the Democrats are helping a far-right election denier who has become a pariah within her own party in her race against a less extreme but still election-denying conservative. They hope that with a more vulnerable opponent, Democrats can win a seat held for decades by Republicans and deny the GOP a veto-proof majority in the gerrymandered chamber. Janelle Branchon is as conservative as they come, reads a postcard sent to Republican voters from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which calls her a conservative, pro-Trump Republican. That's all true, right?
Yes.
That's all true. The February 21st primary and April 4th general election to follow will serve as the latest test of how much appetite Republican voters have for the flavor of election denialism. Oh, they love it, Don. How much appetite they have for the flavor of election denialism that fueled the party's grassroots after former President Donald Trump's 2020 election lost. And the twist in Wisconsin's race is that both leading Republican candidates took significant public states to try and overturn Mr. Trump's defeat. One of them, however, Dom's girl, Miss Branchon, a state representative from Menominee Falls, has so alienated members of her own party that she was kicked out of the state assembly Republican caucus, leaving Democrats giddy. Do I come off as giddy, Dom?
Yeah, just a tad.
About the prospect of facing her in a special election for a battleground district. I feel like I might be the giddy one.
Melissa Agar, the Democratic leader in the Republican-controlled Wisconsin Senate, said this: if Janelle Branchon makes it through the primary, it's going to allow people in Wisconsin to have a clear choice of what it is they're voting for in the April election. She said it would be more winnable if Democrats, if Branchon, pronounced Branchon, as we're saying, triumphed in the primary. Some Republicans agree. Crudy, the Republican State Leadership Committee, the leading national organization that backs GOP state legislative candidates, is broadcasting digital ads promoting state representative Dan Knoedl before the primary. And Country First, a political action committee started by former Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who retired from Congress after voting to impeach Trump, has brought digital ads calling Branchon an embarrassment. Like Branchon, Knoedl was among the 91 state legislators from several states who signed a letter urging Vice President Mike Pence to reject certification of the 2020 election on January 6th. He shares Branchon's vehement opposition to abortion rights as well. Branchon, who said in December 2020 that there was no doubt Trump had won that year's election in Wisconsin, became a favorite of the former president in 21 after being appointed to lead the Wisconsin Assembly Elections Committee. From that perch, she amplified a range of false claims about the 2020, invited conspiracy theorists to testify before the panel, sought to initiate an Arizona-style review of Wisconsin ballots, and appeared at rallies aiming to pressure her Republican colleagues to withdraw from the state's 2020 electoral votes, an impossible act under the U.S. Constitution. Trump praised her in his official statements and had her speak at a rally for the midterm candidates he held in Wisconsin in August. Crudy, we were there.
We were there.
But Branchon, a longtime figure in local conservative politics dating to her time 2 decades ago as a gadfly at the Menominee Falls Village Board meetings, did not fully draw the ire of her Republican fellow Republicans until she endorsed the Trump-backed primary opponent of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has been the state's most powerful Republican since 2019 when Democrats took over the governor's office. After Mr. Voss narrowly prevailed, he removed her as the Elections Committee chairwoman and organized his fellow Assembly Republicans to expel Branchon from the party's caucus. Asked Monday about his preference in the state Senate special election, Voss replied in a text message, LOL, let me quote Sarah Huckabee Sanders, normal versus crazy, I would vote normal.
So he's voting for the Democrat in this race, Don?
Right. There is a third Republican in the race. Van Mobley, a president of the village of Thiensville, was among just a handful of Wisconsin elected officials who backed Trump's 26th campaign. He's far less known in the district than Branchon or Knoedl, and Knoedl's a bar owner from Germantown. None of the three Republican candidates responded to messages. The Democratic candidate, vote for her, folks, Jody Habish-Sinikin, a former guest on the show. She was a lawyer who is unopposed in her primary, is running ads aimed at raising Branchon's profile. A parade of women in Habish-Sinikin's ads call Branchon too conservative and cite her opposition to abortion rights and her citation as a pro-life legislator of the year from a Wisconsin organization that opposes abortion rights. In all, Habish-Sinikin has spent $166,000 in advertising, while neither Branchon nor Knoedl has bought any television or digital ads. Habashinyakin declined to comment, declined request to be interviewed about the campaign and her advertisements. Democratic polling of the race suggests she could beat Brangin in a general election, but could have a far tougher race against Knodel. Joe Anslund, quoting him a lot, is spokesman for the Democratic Party. We're continuing to highlight Janelle Brangin and how she would be a disaster in the state Senate. We're going to continue to put her extremism front and center for voters. So,
Is that raising her up, putting her extremism front and center? Because that is appealing to conservatives.
I guess that's the point. But I think I'll go back to the fact that you're going to spend that money. Why not spend that money raising up Habashinyakin, right? I mean, or at least tie her into it somehow. Hey, Jody Habashinyakin didn't deny the election. Vote for her. These other two people, Knodel and Brangin, they're down. They're the election deniers. Don't let them anywhere near the seat of power. I mean, I think you can do those things. What can I say, though? It turned out, as the Times wrote here, they were correct in their efforts in the midterms. I mean, they won those races.
I would far prefer, as you well know, Dom, to see Dan Kelly win the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary amongst the conservatives. Of course, I'd like to see a couple of liberals go through, but that's not going to happen. We're going to see one conservative, one liberal. And, of course, I'd like to see your girl, Janelle Brangin, win the Senate primary, Dom. But not at the expense of resources, meager Democratic Party resources. When you gave to the Democratic Party people, did you expect them to buy ads for Janelle Brangin? That's where I draw the distinction, Dom. Cashing the righties' checks to benefit the cause of this greater civic media mission. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do that. But spending money to lift up the craziest on the right in the hopes that they will be the vulnerable candidate in the general election? No, that's a bridge too far, Phil.
But again, and we had this conversation during the midterms, and we were wrong. I mean, strategically, those that engaged the extreme mega candidates that did make it through their primaries got beat.
Tell that to Senator J.D. Vance. Seriously, tell that to Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio, that the extremist candidates, I mean, Mastriano got killed in Pennsylvania, didn't win. But J.D. Vance won in the state of Ohio. Ron Johnson won in the state of Wisconsin. Some of these extremists, they did win. They did win. And they were election deniers or fascist-loving coup wannabes in the case of our U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Don.
Seditious conspirators, perhaps?
Well, alleged conspicuous seditious conspirators.
It sounds suspicious.
I got Monday mouth, man.
It's only Tuesday.
It is only Tuesday, but it's an important day. It's Valentine's Day. You know, if you're good at love, Dom, you got to be good with your mouth. Always like that.
So, okay, I'll just leave that. I'll let that one lay there, Curdy. Well done, sir.
Yes. What, you don't speak sweet,
I mean, if you're saying
your wife,
I'm just saying that if you're putting yourself up there as a good lover and good with your mouth and having Monday mouth, and that the implication is you're not a good lover. So I wouldn't make that comparison. Not today.
Okay, you always have Monday mouth. Come back, more Devils.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
On air, it's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 41, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 45. Chance for snow tomorrow night, 25. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Bringing my Monday mouth to the airwaves 5 days a week, Dub. Here's an interesting article posted by a guy who works for the Associated Press. I'll just put it that way. Todd Richman. Prefer Scott, but anyways. Panel scolds Wisconsin justice for remarks in a Trump case. Talking about some malarkey, Dom.
No doubt, man.
Bit. A judicial oversight commission has dismissed a complaint against liberal-leaning Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who accused an attorney for the former President Donald Trump of making racist contentions and trying to protect his king, that'd be Trump, in a case challenging the 2020 election results in the battleground state. Judicial complaints are confidential under Wisconsin law, but Justice Jill Karofsky released documents to the Associated Press on Saturday that showed a retired attorney in Maryland filed one against her with the Wisconsin Judicial Commission 2 years ago. The commission decided in November of 22 not to discipline her, but warned her to remain neutral and avoid making sarcastic remarks from the bench. Karofsky would not be well suited to talk radio, Dom. Judicial complaints are, Karofsky's attorney remained defiant, telling the commission in a letter Tuesday that Karofsky was willing to try to save the U.S. government and accusing the panel of allowing itself to become a political weapon.
Oh, damn.
Here's a quote, Tom. The judicial code requires judges to act with impartiality towards the parties, but it does not require a judge to turn a blind eye to dangerous, bad faith conduct by a lawyer or a litigant, Karofsky said in an email to the AP. I like her. Fire. Quoting a passage from one of her attorney's responses to the commission. Again, a quote. It is beyond reason to read the code to require judges to be mouse-like quiet when parties are arguing in favor of a slow-motion coup, as they were doing before the court here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, without any merit or frickin' evidence, if I recall the details of the trial. Now, Trump filed suit in Wisconsin in December of 2020 after a recount confirmed Democrat Joe Biden had won the state by about 21,000 votes. The filing was one of scores of lawsuits Trump filed across multiple states in an unsuccessful attempt to overturn the election results and remain in office. And the Wisconsin lawsuit asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to toss out about 171,000 absentee ballots cast in Dane in Milwaukee counties. And those listening in Wisconsin know that's where the Democrats live. That's Madison and Milwaukee. A little bit more. The conservative-leaning court ultimately rejected the lawsuit by a 4-3 vote. So democracy was preserved in the state of Wisconsin on a 4-3 vote. The swing being Brian Hagedorn, a judicial independent. But I mean, this is a former Wanker attorney. This guy is a conservative in his own right, but he said, well, you know, perhaps the will of the voter should be done here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's a shocking thought.
So the election was upheld in the state of Wisconsin by one vote. Anyways, the conservative-leaning court ultimately rejected the lawsuit, the Trump lawsuit, by a 4-3 vote, with swing justice Brian Hagedorn casting the deciding vote to uphold Biden's victory in the battleground state. That's how close it came, 4-3. Dom, I think we should all know the name Jim Troupas, because here it is again. Maryland attorney Fletcher Thompson filed a complaint against Kurofsky in January of 2021, accusing her of being hostile towards Trump attorney Jim Troupas. Oh, poor Jim Troupas. Co-conspirator to a coup. Poor attorney Troupas. He noted that during oral arguments, Kurofsky told Troupas that the lawsuit smacks of racism. That was the direct quote. Because it sought to toss out absentee ballots in Wisconsin's two most diverse counties. It was a little racist, Dom. Thompson added that Kurofsky later told Troupas that he wanted the court to overturn the election results so that your king can stay in power. That was the quote of Kurofsky. And said that suggesting the election was marred by fraud was nothing short of shameful. Thompson accused Kurofsky of being discourteous and inappropriately launching personal attacks against Troupas. He said her remarks revealed a political and racial bias. He noted that Trump endorsed Kurofsky's opponent, Daniel Kelly, during the race in spring of 2020. And Kurofsky attorney Stacey Rosenzweig admonished the Judicial Committee in her February 7th letter for letting partisan actors hijack the judicial disciplinary system in an attempt to silence a justice who rightfully tried to stop frivolous and dangerous arguments that undermined our democracy. We believe the commission risks setting a dangerous precedent, Rosenzweig wrote, by allowing the commission to be weaponized in this fashion. The commission becomes a pawn of those determined to undermine an independent judiciary. So who's this jacknut Thompson that filed a complaint, Dom?
Kurdy Thompson said in a telephone interview on Saturday that he wasn't aware the commission had decided not to discipline Kurofsky. He said he wished the commission had taken action against her, but he wasn't disappointed with the outcome since he didn't expect the commission would even investigate when he filed his complaint. Yeah, a lot of lawyers filing lots of BS these days, huh? He said he was stunned that Rosenzweig accused the panel of being a political pawn. He said he's just a retired attorney who watched the oral arguments on YouTube and he has no ties to Trump or Trump's campaign.
I bet he freaking voted for the man, though.
Oh, you know he did. You know he did.
What do you think about this? The very blunt speech attributed to Kurofsky in this case. I mean, the guy was trying to overturn the election, the will of the voters in the state of Wisconsin, without merit, without evidence, and had three willing jurists on the panel, had three corrupted Supreme Court justices willing to go along with it to throw out 171,000 legally and duly cast votes in the state of Wisconsin. What do you know, from the most diverse Democratic counties where the black people live and the brown people live and the people that probably weren't going to vote for Donald Trump. They all live in those counties. Let's get rid of their votes. I mean, it was clearly electoral malfeasance being attempted. And if you call a spade in open court, Dom, should you be punished for that?
Well, she wasn't punished. They did dismiss the complaint, but, you know, they put a little caveat. Be nice. Be nice to those who would attempt a coup. Be nice to those who waste our time in the court. Be nice to those who have zero evidence. I mean, look at all the attorneys under Trump and in his crew that have been admonished and fined by the court. Some have lost their licenses. Troupas should be one of them. She had every right to call him out on it.
I would allege Jim Troupas should be very worried about getting his own great freaking criminal defense attorney. Because Jim Troupas, you're up to your eyeballs in seditious conspiracies, I would allege. Just an opinion, but I bet I could hold it up in court. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. It's going to be a...
I'm Nyheim Hines. professional football player,
and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.